When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Curzon Film Podcast. It is a new year, so that means there is a new bout of films competing for the best films of 2016. And we've all done our personal lists, but now it's time for the Academy Awards to roll in. And number one favourite for the best film is La La Land, and that is what we are talking about this week. And joining me is Daniela Verrettanidi.
Hello there.
And Jenna Hobbs.
Hi.
Hi guys, how are we doing?
Good. Yeah, new year, I'm excited for all the new films.
Yeah, new year, new you.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing Dry January, so it is a new me.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of dryness, there wasn't a dry eye in the house after this one, was there?
There definitely wasn't.
No.
I originally saw this with Sam at the London Film Festival, but you guys went to a more recent show.
Yes.
Yeah, we went to Leicester Square to see it, and we were joined by some special guests, which was quite exciting. Director Damien Chazelle was there, as was composer, I'm going to get the name wrong, Jake.
Justin Hurwitz.
As was composer Justin Hurwitz, and Emma Stone, which was very exciting.
I think I jumped on my seat a bit.
And they did a Q&A to begin with, and it was so interesting.
Great. We will get stuck into that later, but as always, we've got a little question to get us going. And this week I thought we'd, pick a new musical. So La La Land was written, as Chazelle said, as you said to me, as a love letter to Los Angeles. And so I was wondering, what other cities you'd like to see get a musical? And who would you like to see score the music for that musical? Danny?
I would like to see a musical in Tokyo. I think it's quite an interesting city, and I would say for artists, probably Lady Gaga, just she's a bit crazy, and I think she could make something good and big out of it.
Could she also be director of fashion for the film?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I want everyone in a meat dress.
This is the kind of thing that I would read as a news story and think, Yeah, that makes sense. Like Lady Gaga to write, direct, and production design musical set in Japan. But I would love to see it move through sort of centuries as well. Mm. Get some geisha stuff in there until like right now.
So like the whole generation of a family.
Exactly. Yeah. This isn't just like a Lost in Translation thing. We've got so much more.
Yeah.
And all the music across that time. Oh, I could totally see that happening.
Yeah.
Jen?
Well, I thought for a while, my initial jump was to Paris, and then I was like, oh, Paris has got loads of films about it. Then I thought Rome. No, that's the same. So I'm going for Barcelona because I don't think I've seen a lot of Spain in like musical genre style things. So yeah, I'm going for Barcelona, and I'm going for Sir Paul McCartney to write the music for it.
Right.
Because I think the Beatles had some of the greatest love songs of all time, and I think, you know, what's better than a love story in a musical?
Yeah, but Paul didn't write any of the really good love songs, did he?
Oh, that's mean, Jake.
Burn.
Honestly. Well, Paul, this is his redemption.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a vendetta.
Yeah. In like 50 years' time, everyone's going to go, God, remember those great love songs Paul McCartney wrote for that Barcelona musical?
Yeah.
And everyone's going to have forgotten John Lennon.
Yeah. And everyone's like, Sergeant Peppers, what's that?
What was that?
What even is that? Like, yeah.
Okay. What about you?
Well, I thought, you know, there's never been a musical about New York, has it? No. I've broken my own rules here, guys. Just because I don't know if there is a capital city. I've gone for Antarctica.
Okay, sure. Is it CGI?
Or like, Antarctica?
No, I mean, like, are you going to have penguins and polar bears?
Oh,
like,
mate, we're going to shoot it live. We're going to shoot it on set, and Radiohead are going to be there.
Great.
So, yeah, Radiohead musical set in Antarctica is what I'm going for. In terms of bleakness, mm-hmm. I mean, Radiohead pretty much like your faves there. I want the slower songs. I want like pyramid song style stuff.
Okay.
Life in a Glass House, just really somber, sad tunes.
Wow.
Yeah. And I want it to be about 4 hours long.
Oh my God.
But I think the landscape would really lend itself to that. and like really like a slow cinema musical. So kind of Bellatari as well, just walking along snow, and it's just Tom York for like an unbroken...
Is he starring in it as
yeah,
well? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like an unbroken 6-minute long take of him. How does that sound? Exciting?
I think you'll get a lot of like iHeart Radiohead fans watching it, but not a lot of others.
No. I mean, in terms of comparisons to La La Land...
Yeah.
There's not many. both contain music.
Yeah.
Right, so I think we've summed up the Oscar race for next year there, though, haven't we?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So we all look forward to Lady Gaga's Tokyo Odyssey and Paul McCartney's Love Letter to Barcelona. Excellent.
Exactly.
Right, so there we are. We will get, now that we've written our own musicals to, well, they're obviously going to be much better than La La Land, and we can finally get on to La La Land itself. And let's start where the film starts, the opening number. This was a pretty amazing experience, actually, in the cinema for me. And you've got this really lovely old-style Summit Entertainment logo, and it looks like something from the 30s, doesn't it? And then the screen opens up, and it turns into colour, and we are in this amazingly saturated LA, and we are on the most boring looking thing, a traffic jam. Traffic jam on a highway. And where do we go from there?
Well, I've not been to LA, but I've heard that the traffic jams are like the worst thing about it, and it's just such a pop of energy and excitement in that situation. And they were saying just before how they wanted this to just like throw everyone into the deep end of the world of this musical, and it really does that. You dive straight in.
I loved it, and it was so interesting. The screen was gigantic, and we were like second row, and you were trying to notice all the movements and everyone just dancing. And as soon as everyone comes out of the cars, everyone's just wearing those very colorful dresses and shirts and everything. Just everything's just happening simultaneously, and it was just really, really fun.
Yeah, you've got this just stacked traffic jam over a bridge. That when they were filming, they shut this bridge down for 2 days to be able to shoot this sequence. And you've got this kind of hovering camera just working its way in between different cars and different radio stations that people are listening to. And you have a sense of what's going to happen, but you don't quite know. And then one of them starts singing along to their radio, and gradually a few more join in. And it is so beautifully colour coordinated. That's an easy thing to pick out from it, but it's just so satisfying. Isn't it? This whole rainbow of people and colours and cars, and just all joining together in this traffic jam. And I think we've all been in a traffic jam where someone has just got out of their car and it's just been like, just going to have a chat.
Yeah, definitely. Like, traffic jams are the place for making friends, for sure.
Jenna does that all the time.
All the time. All the time getting out of your car.
All the time.
Yeah. That's where you met us, wasn't it?
Yeah, just on the road.
Yeah. It wasn't even that bad a traffic jam. We were still moving.
I just stopped.
Just walked out of a moving car. And so this track is it's called Another Day in Sun, isn't it? And it's just really joyous, and it just it gets you straight into the mood for the film. And it's I don't think it's telling you to take everything too seriously either.
Yeah, I think it sets you up really well for that, with how much fun it's going to be the whole way through, and how fast paced it's going to be. And yeah, that nothing is going to be too serious, although maybe it does get a bit serious.
Yeah. And when you say about the energy there, I think a film with where so much effort has gone into the production design or something like that, a lot of directors would want to kind of stay on that, and so make the audience realise just how much effort has gone in here. But he just, the camera just whips around, and it doesn't give you time to take it all, like, in taking every individual movement and moment and colour and outfit, and it just gives it to you all in one go. And it's almost overpowering how much of a, like, kind of sensory experience it is. But it's just so much energy, and you get swept up in it. At the end of the song, the screening I was in, I don't know about you guys, but people started clapping.
Oh yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. And that brings me on to the thing I wanted to talk about. The feeling in the cinema whilst watching this wasn't like anything else I've had before, really.
I came out of the screen expecting people to start dancing and singing.
Yeah. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that clapping after that first song. And I joined in with that as well.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like a natural thing to do.
Yeah, it almost felt like you were like watching a stage production, like, oh, we should definitely clap now. Yeah. And then you kind of go, oh, this is still a film.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got to give so much credit to them for that.
Yeah.
To take you out of a film so much.
Yeah.
Or take you into it, sorry, really. To get you so in that world that you feel like you're watching live people in front of you.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And just the joke of saying, like, doing this song called Another Day in Sun.
Yeah.
And then just coming up with the title card of Winter.
Yeah.
That got a big laugh. And then when actual La La Land came up, and when the title card La La Land came up, you just felt everyone just kind of sit back in their seats.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, wow.
It's one of those times when you're like, this is why I like to be watching a film with a big group of people in a cinema, because the energy, it's just not the same as if you're watching it at home.
Yeah. At the time of recording, I haven't had the chance to watch Silence yet. But I really want to go to that with as few people as possible, because I want it. Like, I feel like
you
that.
You want silence.
Yeah, I want silence for that, and I want that to kind of just like wash over me and sink into it, and endure it. And I feel like potentially like other people may not be of the same opinion wanting that. But La La Land, yeah, sold out show. Just feels great, doesn't it?
It's the kind of film I want to see like in like 6 weeks' time, when everyone's seen it a few times, and go and sing along.
Yeah. Oh, there will be sing along shows to this, won't there?
It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah,
I'll go to them.
Yeah.
Right. So let's go from there. We've got this opening number. We get the title card. We come back, and that's where really there's no link from the opening number to the rest of the film at all. It just puts us in this traffic jam that we are then... It's then revealed to us that the main characters, Mia and Sebastian, played by Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, are in this traffic jam.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where our story starts, isn't it? With Emma Stone first.
Yeah, that's their little meet-cute, isn't it? And also, they do such a good job in that scene of seeing them in their individual cars, how different they are, getting an encapsulation of their personality. And, you know, you've got Sebastian's bit of a grump, and Emma Stone's character, Mia, who is just like, you know, really positive and really trying so hard to get going with her life. And yeah, I just really love that little setup for them. And then when you see them again later on, you feel like you already know them and their quirks.
Yeah. And I think from the very beginning, from that scene, we kind of already know what the story's going to be.
You always do with a musical, don't you?
And I think as soon as we see them not liking each other, it's like it's just like, oh, I don't think that's going to be the case the whole time, is
it? Classic meet cute.
And so then I really liked this. The first, say, half hour, they're not together, but we get to see both of their timelines separately, beginning at this traffic jam. And so we see Emma Stone, of the two of them, is the first one to get a musical number from herself. And that's for a party scene, someone in the crowd. which is a banger.
It is.
Top banger. It's so good. And that's kind of the one that is. It's not the Oscar-y one, is it? That's Gosling's City of Stars. I feel anyway. Or a later track called Audition, but this is the one that's going to get people out of their seats. This is the one for the sing along.
Yes, it is.
This is the karaoke.
This is the one you want dance moves to.
And it does have dance moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is out of all the tracks. This feels, along with the traffic jam, this is the most perhaps choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
And in the great musical history of time expansion, like this song allows us to really travel in time, doesn't it? We go from Emma Stone at her house, not wanting to go to this party, and this song takes us from not wanting to go to getting convinced, to getting ready, to going there, to getting to the party, to the actual like middle of the party itself. And that's all in the space of, 4 minutes? And I think that's something that musicals can get away with a lot easier.
Yeah. This does it really well. It bends time really well throughout the whole film, actually, because it covers a huge range of time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, using the songs, it travels you around in a really fun way where you don't feel like you've lost anything.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel like that if things jump forward in time. Like, no, I haven't seen everything I needed to see. But I think it gives you, like, a little snapshot of everything and you feel like, yeah.
Yeah. And, again, this, I think the use of colour throughout the film is so vibrant, isn't it? And when it doesn't need to be, it's not. But this song, for a party, when you really want to show someone how great a party is, you show the energy, you show the colour, and this is perfect for that. And there is a particular moment in this scene where everything freezes, doesn't it? And with the camera, the music slows, it goes quiet, and we just kind of work our way through all these different characters and interactions, and you can feel the music gradually building. What's it going to do? And then it all crashes back in, and you get this wonderful finale at the end of the song and at the end of the scene. And there is a particular transition at that very moment, which I'm still not quite sure how it was done.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So impressive. And I cannot wait to watch this again. Because it was a festival show, I've been having to sit on this for 3 months. And you guys have had the brunt of this, of me going, it's so good, isn't it? there's this bit, and there's this other bit, and there's this song, and there's that song, and there's a traffic jam.
The thing is, you'd hyped this to me so much that I was like, I'm not going to like it, because Jake likes it too much. And so for the first, 30 seconds, I was like, man, I don't know what the fuss is about. And then I was like, I love this film!
I was worried as well. Because everyone has been hyping it, and I was like, oh, maybe it's not going to be that good, but not disappoint.
Yeah, and I think this brings us into something we were talking about on the way here, about whether or not a soundtrack is a spoiler. And so famously, with the release of Star Wars Episode 1, Phantom Menace, one of the tracks on the soundtrack, spoiler for anyone that hasn't seen it, was Qui-Gon's funeral.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, that's not great for anyone that's seen the soundtrack before watching the film. But whether or not listening to it is bad. So when the soundtrack came out, this was about a month before the film actually comes out, I was only allowed to listen to it by myself.
You've been banned.
Yeah. So Sam, who also does a podcast, whenever he heard me listening to it, was like, nope. No, not allowed. No, stop it. Because the opening of the whole soundtrack is just so recognisable, and even before he hadn't seen the film or anything, but it was just I just played the opening bars. And he's like,
that's got a La La Land vibe.
Yeah. But you were recently playing Moana, and I couldn't have told you that was Moana, whereas La La Land is very distinctively its own thing.
Yeah, I think it's because obviously Moana is a Disney film, and usually the soundtrack to it is quite similar, and I don't think if you listen to it out of context, listen out of context, you won't lose anything from the film if you watch it later, whereas I don't know, I felt like with La La Land, it's part of it and it's the magic of it that it draws you all in, and you kind of want to be thrown at it all at once rather than listen to it before.
Yeah.
it doesn't necessarily spoil it for you. It just, you just want the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, bam.
On the topic of Lin-Manuel Miranda, I was having this argument about Hamilton and the Hamilton soundtrack, which is on Spotify, and loads of people have told me to listen to that. And I said, why would I do that? Like, I haven't seen the musical. I don't know the characters or their motivations for these songs or what context these songs take place. So I'm never going to listen to that. And then someone said to me, like, yeah, but the tickets are like hundreds of pounds, and it's not, it's only in America. It's not going to be in the UK until October next year. Like, isn't this a way to enjoy the music without having to wait or pay for it? But I still couldn't do it.
Yeah. I'm with you. I haven't listened to the Hamilton soundtrack, which weirds me out when there's like a lot of people in the UK who are like, oh, I love Hamilton. You're like, you've not seen it.
Yeah.
But there's a huge hype around that. Quite a similar hype, I think, to the hype around La La Land.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very comparable. Mm. Like, Lin-Manuel is on a phenomenal run at the moment. The man has so much energy. I don't know where he fits in, Lin. But yeah, the Moana one is very, like, he has a very particular, it's very ballady, isn't it? And it's like kind of recognisably him, and it's very suitable to Disney, and he'll be doing The Little Mermaid, and that very much makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas La La Land, I would almost describe it, like, the film and the music, it's like a present, isn't it? And you kind of, you want the surprise, and you want to be open, you want to open it all at once, don't you?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, because this is another film where, spoken to a lot of people that haven't even watched the trailer, because they like the, because the hype around it has been so much, and they'd rather not know, they'd rather know as little as possible going into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I only watched the teaser, the first one that came out.
Right.
And I think that was the perfect like little snippet to give out, but I don't think you need more than that.
Yeah.
Because it was just with City of Lights and then the little montage.
And you do get a perfect sense of the film in there, because you just get. I mean, they've got the joy of being able to pluck any scene from this film that all look completely stunning. So I imagine cutting the trailer for this must have been a complete joy. You mentioned.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And their City of Stars, that's kind of the first time we get Gosling gets his first song by himself, isn't it? And I think this was a big moment, I think, for kind of waiting to see whether he could pull it off.
Yeah, I'd never thought of Gosling as a singer before, but I think he was pretty good. Emma Stone said at the screening we were at that, you know, neither of them were like trained singers or dancers in any way, and they put a lot of work into it. And she was sort of saying that part of the joy of it is that they're not perfect singers, but they're bringing that kind of, I don't know the right word to describe that, but they're not perfect singers, but they're bringing like an energy and a realness and a rawness to it, where it's not polished and preened to perfection.
Yeah, I like that, and I think we discussed that at some point, that I like the fact that they're not great singers, but they manage to pull it off, and it feels a bit, it just brings you a bit more into it, a bit more personal, like something you could go and do or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're very good singers, but I don't see either of them releasing an album anytime soon.
Yeah. It doesn't have the feel of two people that know they're really good.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have that really irritating, whoa,
yeah,
kind of feel to it. which I think anyone that wants to show off would throw in. I can hit so many notes.
And, watch me.
Yeah. Whereas City of Stars, Gosling's first solo track, is so simple, isn't it? So casual, and there's whistling in there. And he, we from the films that we've seen him in, obviously we don't know him personally yet, but he seems like a very cool guy, doesn't he,
yeah.
Ryan Gosling?
Yes.
And so this track was... it's very laid back, and the singing in it feels so effortless, doesn't it? And it's almost like he's not singing at all. It's very nice to have someone that doesn't have that overconfidence.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think, like, had I been told about the premise for La La Land and that there were, you know, the character Sebastian, I wouldn't have necessarily gone, oh, Ryan Gosling for that role. Mm. But he's amazing in it, and he does bring, like you said, that effortless, laid back, cool kind of vibe that you wouldn't expect in a musical. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But yeah, you usually think
everyone's got to be quite shouty
and like snazzy.
So let's talk about Sebastian and Mia then, the actual characters at the center of this thing. So we've got Mia is a... well, she's an out-of-work actress trying to find a place in LA, and Sebastian is what, going to be shortly out-of-work pianist.
They're both a bit down on their luck, and they're taking it in different ways. You know, Mia's just got this hugely positive attitude about where she's going, and Sebastian's the opposite. And then you can kind of see the chalk and cheese and why they need each other.
But you wonder whether Sebastian is representative of Mia in a few years.
Mm.
Like, Sebastian has been broken.
Yeah, by LA, by the industry, by how tough it is.
Yeah, I quite like that it was discussing about their careers and everything. And I think because both, like, all three of us are kind of in the art industry, kind of, we could relate to that a bit. But also it was kind of like, it showed like those little awkward moments of like going to auditions and like just being ridiculed a bit,
mm-hmm.
and just put down and just trying over and over. And what do you do next? Like when that has been happening over and over again, what do you do next?
Emma was saying that...
Emma, your first name.
Yeah.
Your pal, Emma.
My friend, Emma Stone. Hi, Emma. she was saying that they spoke to her and Ryan, my friend Ryan, a lot about the kind of auditions they've been through when they were kind of trying to make it, and that one of Ryan Gosling's actual stories ends up in the audition sections, but she wouldn't say which one. So.
Oh, I heard it was like answering the phone.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, mid audition.
Oh, wow.
That would be horrible, wouldn't it?
There's some brutal scenes in the audition section.
Yeah. But there is also one of the best scenes, the song audition.
Oh, yes.
Which those that have only seen the teaser trailer will have heard a few bars from the track audition. Mm-hmm. Which is a really lovely track, actually.
Yeah, lovely.
And that's with Emma Stone doing a little audition, which turns into a very big audition.
And that's her big number as well. You know, Ryan gets City of Stars and this one's hers.
Yeah, I think this is a bigger number than City of Stars. City of Stars is, like, he's very cool. It's almost got, like, a greasery vibe to it, isn't it? He's just kind of strolling around, whereas this, she's got some pipes.
Yeah.
She goes for it.
That's, like, the big solo of the film.
Yeah. I don't think Gosling really has... he doesn't have a big solo.
Mm. I'm glad there's not more big solos, though. Oh. I think one is enough for this film because it's so much about the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that I was reading was the musicalness of the film does drop off in the middle of it, in that you get... so it's very front-loaded with mm-hmm. songs, and then when it actually gets into... the details and rhythm of their relationship, it does kind of drop out when, I think, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but when, let's say, their relationship is not at its most fruitful,
mm-hmm.
naturally the musicalness kind of drops out mm-hmm. because there is less to sing at, and then you pick up again at the end. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I think this is one of the reasons why I like it so much, though, because I sometimes feel when I watch a musical that they shoehorn songs in all the time, like, oh, you just have a conversation. Why are you singing at each other again? And it kind of gets...
This is why Les Mis is your favourite film, isn't it?
It's not up there. Singing at each other again, it's like, oh, just talk about it, for God's sake. And yeah, I like the fact that they drop the music when they don't need it and they don't go, oh, it's a musical, so we better put another song in it now.
Yeah,
I think they're natural to the story they're telling.
Yeah, I was reading a Reddit AMA with Justin Hurwitz, the composer for the film, and there are shot and recorded songs that are not in the film.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
And they haven't been cut together, but they were filmed. And that's like a treasure chest, isn't it? Like you can't go telling people that.
You can't tell people that. People are going to go mad for that.
Yeah. And I would have no idea where to put them. I can't possibly think where they would be in this film. And how, if you're the editor of this film, to then look at the effort that's gone into shooting and recording this song and be like, yeah, gonna have to cut that. But it's out there, people. The truth is out there. We've got to try and find that one. It's very much a traditional romantic comedy, structure-wise, for those two, for Mia and Sebastian. And we follow their journey and we follow the music as it shifts and changes and bends towards their goals as individuals and as a couple. And the contradictions and rules that they have to break in their own kind of beliefs as well. And I think that's something we can all understand. We've all seen enough things set in LA to see just how much pressure everyone is under at all times to be performing, whether that is at an actual audition or, as the second song on the film says, to just be someone in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone in the crowd could be the one that you need to know. But yeah, that's La La Land. We've all absolutely loved it, and we're going to go into a little spoiler section now for the third act revelations and the last moments of the film. But if you want to stick around, please do. If not, go and watch the film and then come back. So you've got a spoiler warning now, and we are back in the room. Right.
I feel like I've been holding on to all these secrets.
Yeah. It's so nice to talk about it with other people, because I can't imagine you, Jake, coming out of the film and not being able to talk with everyone about it.
Yeah, it's horrible. The funny thing was that that was a double bill that I had that day. It was La La Land followed by Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, very different films.
Oh yes. Emotional. Why? that was very odd. I feel like the natural order should have been the other way around. Start the day, Manchester by the Sea, get myself into like the saddest that I've been in a long time watching a film, and then La La Land. What a remedy. It's perfect. But then I'm worried that I will watch Manchester by the Sea again, but I may be unprepared, because La La Land sent me into it in such a high that really Manchester by the Sea leveled me out. But now I'll go into Manchester by the Sea on a cold, wet January day, and that's the only film that I'm watching. I'll come out like singing, what was I doing last time? I don't remember it being that sad. But yeah, that was a funny experience for me. But you could, yeah, you guys had each other, so you could at the end of it just turn to each other and just...
We were like singing back on the tube. We were having a great time
talking about Ryan.
Let's talk about the big kind of, I don't know, the plot point at the end of the film is that ultimately these two people do not end up together.
Yeah,
Jake, it broke me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think it was the right decision?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I was a bit sad about it, but I didn't mind it as much. Like, I was sad and heartbroken that they didn't end up together. But, taking a step back, I was like, yeah, well, life is life, you know. Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
I think that's a good message.
Yeah.
That you can't just believe in the fairy tale all the time. Yeah. And that, you know, life will still work out in a way that's good and positive, even if it's not the way you hoped and thought it might be.
Yeah. And ultimately they helped each other get to the point that they wanted to be at.
Yeah, I mean, they both fulfilled their dreams.
Yeah.
And I think if you're trying so hard and living in LA to be an actor or a musician or something like that, you know, you make these huge sacrifices because actually your dreams are so important to you, more important than anything else.
Yeah.
So in a way, them having fulfilled that in comparison to fulfilling their romantic possibilities together is maybe more important.
Yeah. And I, for one, am glad that they don't end up together because you get the epilogue. This 10-minute sequence.
That was amazing.
This is a phenomenal piece of filmmaking, really, isn't
yes.
it? So there, this, well, you're listening to this section of the show, so I'm sure you've seen it. The what might have been sequence.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
That, just saying that just makes me oh.
Yeah, this is great.
So I think
it?
So. In reality, Emma meets someone else. She's a very famous movie star. She has a child with them. And Ryan Gosling's character has got his own jazz bar that he's always wanted. They turn up, see each other for the first time in 5 years. And then Sebastian reimagines how these last 5 years could have gone.
Yeah, and he starts playing the piano with a Sebastian Mia theme, which was beautiful. Yeah. And then just goes bam.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all the music comes
yeah.
in, doesn't
yeah.
it? This amazing, like, this piece of music is incredible.
Yeah.
I wish that there, I know there's awards for best musical score as a whole, but I wish there was just one individual track, because this would surely be it.
Because
it takes every single theme and song from the whole film Ooh. And condenses it down into this one phenomenal track, and it really takes you on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's a little film in itself, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's not really much dialogue, or if any.
It's all told through, like, eye contact and looks and gestures, and it's heartbreaking.
Mm.
And at the very end of that whole sequence, when they're back in the jazz bar and Sebastian and Mia are sitting together, and I just wanted one more look from Sebastian.
Yeah.
I've said this to you before, of, like, recognition of feeling like, yes, he had the woman of his dreams and the life he wanted, but he didn't have the jazz club, and just feel a bit jealous. And I didn't see that, but maybe I'm looking for that in the next time round.
Yeah.
I'll see it.
And I think there's little nods in here that kind of pay off from bits from earlier as well. Like there's a bit when she's giving him a tour of the Warner Brothers set, and they walk through a really beautifully lit sunset set that's
mm-hmm.
going to be used in whatever film is supposedly being made in there, and they just kind of walk past it, and it was so lovely to look at. I was like, well, oh, that's a shame that Chazelle and his team would make this really beautiful looking sunset scene and they would just walk past it. But then that pays off in this epilogue, that
yeah.
they walk into that set, and there is a number in that set.
Yeah.
And the planetarium comes back
yeah.
in as well. And it's almost like, it's like a greatest hits, isn't it? this
yeah.
epilogue. They're just such a beautiful moment. It's bookended by
mm-hmm.
just stunning bits of music and film.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect combination of the two. Yeah, really, really love that bit.
I love this film so much.
Yeah.
To the point where I think it could be in my top 5 films of all time.
Yeah, I would say so. And I really like the end scene as well, after they come out of the what if and she's about to leave, and they had that look, that little moment of like, oh yeah, we didn't end up together, but
mm.
it's fine. And it was just so sweet and nice, and it was such a perfect little end.
Mm.
No, I really, really liked it.
Yep. Speaking of what might have been, how would you guys have dealt with this film with Miles Teller and Emma Watson in
no.
the lead roles? That was
that
was the original casting.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow! I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
No.
So interestingly, Ryan Gosling was meant to be the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, and Emma Watson was going to be Emma Stone's character here. But obviously, Ryan Gosling is not the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, and Emma Watson is Belle, and she is not Mia. And Miles Teller, who we know from Whiplash,
mm.
Damien Chazelle's previous film, was scheduled to be on here. But creative differences
ensued,
and I just couldn't see it.
I can't picture it.
No.
I suppose Miles Teller's got that kind of cool vibe, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, not as much as Ryan Gosling, but it's there. But he's quite a lot younger than Ryan Gosling as well.
That's what I was thinking. I feel like both Emma Watson and Miles Teller are quite young.
Mm. Yeah.
And I kind of like that Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling are not that young.
Yeah, because you really believe that they're getting a bit exasperated with life at that kind of late 20s, early 30s, and they're still trying. Yeah. Whereas with Emma Watson and Miles Teller, you'd be like, oh, come on, you're fine, you're young. You can put up with it for a bit longer.
Yeah, I think both of these two are more accomplished actors as well. And I think we talked about that these roles have to be quite casually played because, as we said, they're not the best singers, they're not the best dancers, but you also need to believe them at the same time. Mm. And Miles Teller, I imagine, would have a bit more bravado about him.
Mm.
I recently watched him in Bleed for This, where he's a boxer and he's very overly confident. And maybe it's just because that's the most recent film that I saw him in that's kind of affecting my opinion here. But the thing what we said about Gosling being very understated and very cool and collected, and that's it just seemed very appropriate that he was in the role.
Yeah, and I think Emma Watson needs just a little bit more time out of Harry Potter franchise, because it's been quite a while still. But she's done like Perks of Being a Wallflower and other films that still feel quite teeny.
Yeah.
And I think she needs to do a bit more
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I think we need
to be taken like a serious actor.
I'd just like to see her do another serious, more serious role before she goes into a big Oscar film like La La Land.
Yeah. Understandable. Beauty and the Beast has that, because really, to be a movie star, you need to cross franchise.
Mm.
You need to be able to, like Orlando Bloom at the time was doing Pirates of the Caribbean and Lord of the Rings. That's a movie star.
Yeah,
hasn't had the same luck since, but that's the sign of someone that's really made it for a brief time period at least. And going on to what's next, we've got Damien Chazelle teaming up again with Ryan Gosling for a Neil Armstrong biopic.
I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, very excited. Yeah. I didn't know about it until you told me.
For me, this is so exciting. Yeah. I love space stuff.
Me too.
Yeah, anything to do with space, I'm already hooked. But these two together again as well. This has got Oscars written all over it again, hasn't it? Like, Neil Armstrong on the moon is probably, for me, like, the greatest thing that America has ever done.
Yeah.
And so we all know how the Oscars love, like, giving themselves a pat on the back. this has surely got, it's going to win everything, hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
And a biopic of an American hero. It's going to be great.
And I can see Ryan Gosling as Neil.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see, because Damien Chazelle was saying in our Q&A that both Whiplash and La La Land were very personal films to him, and I wonder if he feels the same way about Neil Armstrong's story. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a funny one. I thought maybe he's got his... He loves jazz, and I thought maybe he's messed up his Armstrongs, and he met Louis Armstrong.
Oh, no. Who's going to break it to him?
Yeah. Or he actually meant Lance Armstrong. Or maybe it's a mashup of the three. So that's what we've got next for Chazelle, which very exciting. So, all in all, I think we agree we like Damien Chazelle. Yes?
He's doing well.
Yes. Well done, Damien. Right, so yeah, La La Land, do check it out. It is superb. Also, if you fancy a musical this week but you can't make it to the cinema, log on to Curzon Home Cinema, where you can check out my favourite film released in UK cinemas over 2016, which is John Carney Sing Street, which is now on Curzon Home Cinema. It's got a wicked soundtrack as well, and according to Jenna, it's all about my own life. And that's the only reason I've picked it. But do check out Sing Street if you want another dose of musical in your life. And we must give our thanks, as usual, to CSR for letting us use their wonderful studio. And until next week, which I believe will be Manchester by the Sea, we say farewell. So it is goodbye from Danny.
Bye.
Goodbye from Jenna.
Bye.
And goodbye from me. I'm off to hopefully get stuck in a traffic jam.
Hey, Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.